Good morning. It's great to be here, as always. I'll start with a short prayer. We pray that you will open my mouth to proclaim your word in the power of the Spirit. And we pray that the same Spirit will open the hearts of its hearers here assembled to receive your word. Amen. Now, following on from Cain's thoughts on the desert and fasting over the past couple of weeks, in our year of preparation here at St. Mary's Weldon, my focus this week, I thought, would be on temptation, but not just on that, but on our own pathways. But first, though, some trivia. As some of you know, I like quizzes, and it's great to have a couple of my teammates with me, especially those that take part in a pub. And earlier in the month, the first question of the quiz was, what is the largest desert on Earth? Now, my teammates are not allowed to answer, but does anybody else like to have a go? What is the largest desert on Earth? The Sahara? Wendy? Wendy, you can join our team anytime. Well done. Indeed, it's not a hot one. It's a cold one, because a desert is termed as a place of no living, no nothing. Okay, and the largest land space on that is the Antarctica. And similar to Cain, whilst I am a maths teacher by training too, my talk's not going to refer very much to the number 40. I try to think about some of the other things that Cain had said. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the number as a word. Now, did you know that 40 is the only number that has its letters in alphabetical order? F-O-R-T-Y. There we are. I don't think you can find another one. Anyway, there we go. So I was thinking, in preparing of my talk today, what is Lent to you? I feel we should consider Lent as part of our journey to get closer to God, to talk more to God through prayer. We repeat this season many, many times through our lives. Whereas Jesus' journey of reflection and connection only happened once in his life. Therefore, please consider two questions within these 40 days and 40 nights. Where have you come from and where are you going? Where have you come from and where are you going? There are many journeys in the Bible. Here are two examples. In the Old Testament, we're told that the Israelites were a people descended from a single nomadic family holding on to a promise. They had experienced delivery from slavery in Egypt and had been delivered into their promised land. Their expression of thanksgiving was cementing their relationship with the God who had answered their prayers for deliverance. The second example is from the New Testament. So let's consider the Christians that were in Corinth. They had come from diverse backgrounds. Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female. They had to learn that these cultural differences were not what that had defined them. What mattered was that their confession of Jesus as Lord and that Jesus is generous to all who call on him. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. God loves us as his children, and we can be sure of that. Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. During the time shut, I'd like you to think about, where have you come from and where are you going? Where has God been with you and where are you going with God? So now, please close your eyes if you're able and consider those questions. please open them. By the way, that was only 40 seconds. Imagine considering those questions maybe for 4 minutes, 4 hours, 4 days, or as the period of Lent is, 40 days and nights. Maybe on your own in a desert like Jesus. Not only thinking to oneself, but overcoming a severe period of fasting. Jesus not only survived this period, but then was challenged by Satan, potentially at his very weakest. Where have you come from? Where are you going? Then, now, in the future, we will all be tempted to lose our way, especially when we might have been at our lowest. My journey has been eventful both professionally and personally, full of temptations. I definitely went off-piste, to use a skiing term, but through God and Jesus, I was able to get back on the right slope and more recently feel closer to God during my ministry training. I expect all of you here today may have had similar journeys, hopefully more on the piste than off. So let's consider Satan's three challenges to Jesus, as we have just been heard from by Mike. The first one was to try and make Jesus doubt his position as the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. It was a cunning way to make Jesus doubt his position. As you recall, Jesus had come from a family tree that had stretched right back to Adam. And his time in the desert was to prepare how he should work out God's plan alone before he started his teaching and healing ministry. Jesus responded to the devil's temptations with scripture, similar to what Newton was doing with the idea of the book, the Bible, behind the paper. When Jesus was asked to turn stones into bread, he quoted Deuteronomy. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, from which neither you nor your ancestors were familiar, in order to make you understand that one does not live on bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of the Lord. Man shall not live on bread alone. The middle temptation was about greed, wealth. Looking out on all the kingdoms of the world, Satan offered Jesus all their authority and splendor. I have them and I can give to them anyone I want to. If you worship me, it'll all be yours. Satan recognized who Jesus was and felt threatened. But once again, Jesus quoted scripture using one of the commandments. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The last test was even more cunning, as Satan quoted scripture at Jesus. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself off the temple, and it is written that God will command his angels to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands that so you will not strike your foot against a stone. Rather than satisfy the devil's thirst for a thrill, Jesus once again rebuked him with scripture. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Luke concludes this passage. The devil left Jesus until an opportune time. In other words, further temptations were to follow through his ministry. And not only in his broken and divided world, but in ours today. Where have we come from, and where are we going? Listening to me, I would guess that you have been thinking about temptations you have faced, how many you have fallen for, how many you have rebuked through the promises of Scripture, like Jesus. Lent is that period of reflection, and in many cases, a chance to be more strongly attached to the path, to the road, to the way of God, to maybe give up something. Anyone like to share their challenge of what they might be doing at the moment to give up something? Anything? Pardon, Janet? Thank you. Anybody else? Helen? Biscuits? Ooh, I hope you weren't tempted by the biscuits at the hatch there.
Chocolate?
Really?
Yeah,
it's hard. Well, do you know what? I think I need a break. Do you need a break?
Yeah.
Well, I've got some Smarties here. Now, Nigel, what do you think?
I think you should have one.
Do you think, what about you?
No,
you can't. Well done you. Or maybe, in the case of my good friend, maybe we should both give up golf. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I also think it's a time that maybe, as well as maybe giving up something, we might be taking up something. So please close your eyes again, if you feel able. Just recall how God kept you on the path. Maybe how God is keeping you on the path, is keeping you on the road. Please open them again. In conclusion, whether you believe in Satan or not, when we make a stand for God and his kingdom, we are more likely to be aware of spiritual attacks. Like Jesus, we need to continue to prepare, hence St. Mary's year of preparation. And that means further study of the Bible, more prayer to converse with God, and maybe take up other activities that are traditionally a part of Lent's best practice. We are fortunate that God knows our weaknesses and he is powerful to save us. Lent is a time, temptations or not, to recognize God's continuing generosity and to remain on the correct path. Where have you come from and where are you going? And while I was preparing for this, I came across one of my favorite poems written by Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveller long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference. I hope that you on a road you have chosen to be with God and to follow Jesus, a road less travelled, but a road that has made and will make all the difference to you, to others, to the world. Where have you come from and where are you going? Keep focused on your journey and help others with theirs. Thank you for listening.